Welcome back to the deep dive. So, if you've been following the artificial intelligence space lately, you probably know the industry is currently suffering from, well, absolute whiplash.
Oh, complete whiplash.
Right, because today we're looking at a single daily digest, the AI Data Daily, from Thursday, April 9th, 2026. And it perfectly proves this. I mean, in the exact same week that a public AI data set grew by 1,000 times, which, threatens to break every compute cluster on Earth,
Yeah, just massive scale.
right, at the same time, we get a new paper claiming you can now train a 100 billion parameter model on a single piece of hardware, like something you could literally fit in your closet. So the rules of physics, data scarcity, economics, they're all just completely breaking down.
It is a phenomenal contradiction, honestly. And what makes this specific digest so vital for you to parse today is that it captures this structural tearing perfectly. Like, you have researchers rewriting the memory limits of silicon on one page, and then on the very next page, you've got developers scrambling to revive, like, 1960s aerospace math just to keep their data pipelines from hallucinating.
Yeah, it's wild. So our mission for this deep dive is to cut right through the noise of this specific newsletter. We're going to extract the mechanisms behind these massive shifts in hardware and data, decode the governance reality checks you actually need to care about, and highlight the practical foundational tools developers are, quietly using to hold these systems together.
Exactly, because the reality of building in this space right now means you have to simultaneously understand the geopolitical implications of a model's reasoning, while also knowing exactly which Git commands to run before a deployment.
Right.
The strategy and the execution are just completely intertwined now.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start with the physical limits of AI compute, because the digest highlights a paper called Megatrain that essentially claims the VRAM wall is just, a myth.
Yeah, that was a huge claim.
It's huge. Megatrain is proposing full precision training of 100 billion plus parameter large language models on a single GPU. Now, let's just look at the math there for a second.
Right, let's do it.
100 billion parameter model in full precision requires what? Hundreds of gigabytes of memory just to hold the weights, let alone the optimizer states and gradients and all that. And an H100 GPU has 80 gigabytes.
Yeah, round 80.
So that sounds like trying to fit a blue whale into a bathtub. I mean, I'm skeptical. How is this not just theoretical academic hype?
Well, what's fascinating here is how they are mechanically bypassing that hardware bottleneck.
Right.
They aren't magically compressing the whale.
Okay.
They are aggressively dismantling it and reassembling it millisecond by millisecond.
Wow. Wait, really?
Yeah. So if the methodology holds up to peer review, Megatrain is utilizing an extreme form of unified memory paging and optimizer state offloading. It's basically like trying to rebuild a V8 engine while it's running.
That sounds dangerous.
Very. But imagine you only keep the one exact wrench you need in your hand,
Yeah.
right? And you leave the rest of your massive toolbox on a high-speed NVMe drive out in the garage.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they swap the memory out of the GPU
Yeah.
the microsecond. It's no longer actively computing a gradient.
Okay, so they're taking the massive latency hit of transferring data back and forth between the CPU and the GPU memory, but they're what, masking it with overlapping computation?
Precisely. Yeah, they pipeline the data transfers so the compute cores on the GPU never actually sit idle,
Right.
which is huge because traditionally, fitting a model that size required a highly orchestrated multi-million-dollar cluster of interconnected GPUs just to pool enough VRAM together.
Yeah, the hyperscalers.
Exactly. Megatrain fundamentally rewrites the cost model. I mean, if a scrappy startup with one beefy workstation can run massive, full-precision fine-tuning jobs, the power dynamic of the entire industry shifts away from those hyperscalers holding a monopoly on compute.
But wait, if Megatrain democratizes the compute side of the equation, the digest immediately introduces this massive curveball on the data side.
The video data set.
Right. There's a release of a new video reasoning data set that is 1,000 times larger than anything we've had before. And, the prevailing wisdom for the last 2 years was that we were hitting a data wall. We were supposedly going to run out of high-quality human data, which would make proprietary data the ultimate moat. So, does a 1,000 times larger open video data set mean that data scarcity is effectively dead for multimodal
It absolutely evaporates the data moat. I mean,
AI?
completely.
Really?
Yeah. Because when a public repository drops three orders of magnitude more complex video tokens into the ecosystem, the bottleneck instantly snaps back to raw processing power.
Oh, wow.
Right. It doesn't matter if you have proprietary data anymore if an open source competitor can just train on 1,000 times more visual reasoning scenarios.
So even with Megatrain making single GPU training possible, if you want to chew through a data set that is 1,000 times larger, you're still going to be totally starved for compute. Like, you can train a massive model cheaply, but you can't train it on terabytes of video cheaply.
Exactly. That is the architectural friction we're seeing right now. The constraint landscape has totally flipped overnight.
Yeah.
And so if your team was relying on data scarcity as your primary competitive advantage, well, that strategy is suddenly obsolete. You really have to pivot your architecture to optimize for high throughput, multimodal token processing instead.
Wow. So with the bottlenecks wildly shifting between compute and data like this, trying to map out a long-term engineering strategy just feels completely impossible.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah. And the digest captures this anxiety perfectly by highlighting this brilliant blog post by Effer. It's titled, ML Promises to Be Profoundly Weird.
I love that title.
I love that phrasing too, because it just drops the corporate posturing entirely. Effer's core warning is that predicting machine learning progress is genuinely hard, and treating ML roadmaps like traditional software roadmaps is a massive trap.
Yeah, and if we connect this to the bigger picture, Effer is really pointing out the mechanics of emergent behaviors.
Right.
Because, you know, in traditional software, if you add a new feature, you know exactly what it does because you wrote the logic.
You hard-coded it.
Exactly. But in deep learning, as you scale up compute and drop in a data set that's 1,000 times larger, the model might spontaneously develop an internal capability to, I don't know, simulate physics or write Python completely unprompted.
Which means any engineering team betting their entire data architecture on a single vendor's roadmap is taking a huge gamble.
Oh, a massive gamble.
Because if you hard code your entire enterprise pipeline to rely on a specific API from one ecosystem, and ML takes a profoundly weird left turn, say, video reasoning suddenly replaces text-based SQL queries for database retrieval, your vendor might pivot, and you are left holding a completely broken architecture.
Yeah, that structural unpredictability is exactly why the Digest puts such heavy emphasis on the upcoming Stanford HAI AI Index for 2026.
Right, that drops in a few days, right? April 13th.
Yep, April 13th.
Yeah.
And when you are sitting in an architecture review tomorrow, and your leadership team is asking how to future-proof the tech stack, you cannot rely on vendor marketing. You just can't.
No.
You need independent empirical data on where the frontier actually is. The Stanford Index tracks the granular, verifiable progress of these emerging capabilities across the industry, stripping away all the hype.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting, though, because it's not just academics trying to measure this weirdness anymore.
No, it's not.
The Digest heavily features the newly published International AI Safety Report 2026. So the era of flying under the radar is completely over.
Completely over. And this report, you know, it's not a collection of speculative sci-fi thought experiments. It really represents a massive maturation in global governance.
Right.
They're applying rigorous scientific classification to the capabilities and the systemic risks of general purpose AI.
Yeah, from what the Digest outlines, they aren't just asking vague questions about whether a model is dangerous. They're building actual technical benchmarks, like evaluating things like a model's autonomous zero-day exploit generation or its capability to deceive a human evaluator during a multi-step task.
And that technical granularity is exactly why this is primary source material for anyone building in this space.
Because of the regulations.
Yes. Global regulators are using these specific capability benchmarks to draft legally binding compliance frameworks. So if your multimodal pipeline hits a specific threshold of autonomous reasoning, you might suddenly trigger new compliance requirements for deployment.
Oh, wow.
You need to know exactly how international bodies are measuring these models, because it literally dictates the legal environment your software has to survive in.
Right. And having established that intense measurement and governance landscape, it's pretty wild to look at the actual capabilities dropping this week that are triggering all this regulatory scrutiny.
Yeah, the timing is impeccable.
It really is, because the Digest points to Meta's introduction of new Spark. And Meta is aggressively pushing this framing of a personal superintelligence.
Yes, they are.
So what does this all mean? Should you buy into the superintelligence hype, or is Meta just trying to sell you ads and VR headsets?
Well, you should view the superintelligence label with extreme skepticism, obviously. It's a highly loaded, very provocative marketing term.
Right.
However, you really cannot afford to ignore the underlying technological leap that MuSpark represents.
Okay.
The capability jump in reasoning and deep personalization is a mechanical reality. It's not just spin.
Right, because the digest breaks down the architecture, showing that we are moving way beyond chatbots that just regurgitate summarized text. Muse Spark utilizes advanced test time compute. Like, it's dedicating significant processing power after the prompt is given to actively reason through multi-step analytical problems, search through your specific corporate context, evaluate its own potential answers, and then execute a plan.
Exactly. And that agentic reasoning is highly relevant if you're building AI-assisted analytics workflows on top of enterprise platforms like Azure AI Foundry or Microsoft Fabric.
Because users want autonomy.
Right. Your users are going to expect systems that can autonomously navigate complex data environments. But deploying that is a massive engineering challenge.
Which brings us to arguably the most valuable practical resource in the entire digest, the Voltigen GitHub repository.
Oh, yeah. That's a lifesaver.
It really is. Because if you are the developer tasked with actually building one of these autonomous pipelines, you can't just read Meta's press release. You need structural blueprints. And Voltigen is a heavily curated collection of AI agent research and architectural patterns, specifically from 2026.
Yeah, Voltigen basically bridges the enormous gap between the academic theory of an autonomous agent and a reliable Python script executing in a production
It
environment.
is a huge gap.
Huge. The repository digs deep into the mechanics of memory management. Like, how does an agent maintain context over a week-long task?
Right.
It breaks down the shift from simple short-term vector databases to these complex long-term knowledge graphs where the agent actively updates and prunes its own episodic memory.
It also covers the brutal reality of evaluation workflows, right? I mean, evaluating a standard LLM is hard enough, but how do you mathematically prove that your autonomous agent didn't just spend the last 4 hours hallucinating in a loop?
Exactly. And Voltigen provides the actual frameworks developers are using to benchmark agent trajectory and tool use accuracy. It's really the definitive survival guide for agent engineering right now. You cannot build a personal superintelligence without mastering these highly complex, multi-layered architectural patterns.
And speaking of mastering the foundations, that leads us to the most surprising part of this digest. Because amidst the chaos of 100 billion parameter models and international safety treaties, the tools getting the highest engagement from developers are shockingly old school.
Yeah, it's really ironic.
It's a stark reminder that no matter how advanced the neural network gets, we are still ultimately writing code, and that code has to be managed.
Yeah, we're seeing a massive resurgence in the fundamentals of software engineering, honestly, precisely because the AI is moving so fast.
Look at the Hacker News post the Digest highlighted. It scored a massive 1916 upvotes, which is incredibly rare.
Very rare.
And the topic, Git commands to run before reading any code. It focuses on using Git log, Git blame, and strategic diffs before you ever touch a repository. To me, that's exactly like looking at the structural blueprints, the soil samples, and the entire permit history of a house before you swing a sledgehammer at a load-bearing wall.
That's a great way to put it. And it struck such a massive nerve in the community because AI code generation tools like Copilot, they're allowing developers to produce vast amounts of code at unprecedented speeds.
Right.
But that code often lacks architectural cohesion. So if you dive straight into reading an AI-generated code base to see what it does, without checking the Git history to understand the human reasoning of why it was structured that way,
You're in trouble.
you're walking into a trap of invisible technical debt. Code provenance is suddenly the most critical skill in a developer's toolkit.
And right next to that, we see another highly rated post with 1,177 upvotes about an update to the Veracrypt project.
Oh, yeah.
Now, assuming everyone listening knows Veracrypt is open source disk encryption software, it's wild to see an update for local encryption pulling those kinds of numbers next to AGI papers.
It is wild, but it actually makes perfect sense when you look at the trends we just discussed.
How so?
Well, think about the convergence here. Megatrain is making it possible to run massive models locally, right?
Right.
And Meta's Muse Spark is pushing the concept of highly personalized, context-aware agents that ingest your most sensitive data to operate.
Ah, I see.
So this means the surface area for catastrophic data leaks is moving from highly secured, centralized cloud servers straight down to local workstations and decentralized edge devices.
Wow. So if your foundational encryption at rest fails, your localized personal superintelligence just becomes a massive, highly structured liability.
Exactly.
Knowing that the Veracrypt project is active and pushing updates isn't just a minor software patch then. It's critical infrastructure news for anyone designing federated data pipelines.
Precisely.
But I have to push back on these last two items in the digest.
Okay, lay it on me.
So we have an explainer on 6.5 intuitions for KL divergence and a massive interactive breakdown of the Kalman filter using a radar example. Why are we talking about old math concepts from statistics and 1960s aerospace engineering in a 2026 AI digest?
It's a fair question.
Haven't the neural networks abstracted all the statistical noise away? Like, can't we just prompt engineer our way out of bad data?
This raises an important question about the limits of deep learning abstraction. Mm. And the short answer is no. You absolutely cannot prompt engineer your way out of statistical noise.
Okay, explain.
Let's look at KL divergence first. The digest highlights this explainer because the textbook definition, which is basically measuring how one probability distribution differs from a reference distribution, is notoriously dense.
Very dense.
But right now, KL divergence is the absolute backbone of RAG, retrieval augmented generation, evaluation.
Right, because if you are building an enterprise-ready system, the biggest risk is the model confidently hallucinating an answer based on irrelevant retrieved context.
Exactly. So you use KL divergence mathematically to compare the distribution of the retrieved context against the distribution of the generated answer.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. It provides a quantifiable metric of drift. If the divergence is too high, it mathematically proves the model is hallucinating outside of its provided facts.
Wow.
So if you have data scientists who treat our guys as just a black box of API calls and they don't understand the intuition of KL divergence, they will be completely incapable of debugging a hallucinating system in production.
Okay, that makes total sense for LLM outputs. But what about the Kalman filter? You mentioned aerospace engineering. It was famously used in the Apollo program to estimate the trajectory of the spacecraft from noisy radar data. How does state estimation math from the Apollo program connect to an AI data engineer today?
Well, because the physical world is incredibly noisy, and AI agents are increasingly being asked to interact with it.
Okay.
Data engineers are hitting a massive wall trying to feed streaming data from IoT sensors, logistics networks, or autonomous vehicles directly into these reasoning models.
Right, because the LLM expects clean, tokenized text, but a temperature sensor in a smart city is just blasting out erratic, fluctuating numbers every millisecond.
Precisely. If you feed raw, noisy sensor data directly into an LLM's context window, the reasoning agent will just thrash and fail.
You'll get overwhelmed.
Exactly. So you need a Kalman filter sitting in front of the neural network. The filter works in a two-step process. First, it predicts the system state, and then it updates that prediction based on the new, noisy measurement, constantly refining its certainty.
That's brilliant.
It's moved the time series data and mathematically isolates the true signal from the noise before it ever hits the AI agent. The math really hasn't changed since the 1960s, but its application as a mandatory pre-processing layer for autonomous multimodal agents is more critical than it's ever been.
It's incredible how tightly this all connects when you really look under the hood. I mean, we started this deep dive looking at the massive whiplash of the industry. We examined the mechanics of Megatrain, violently paging memory, to train a 100 billion parameter model on a single GPU, which basically shatters the compute monopoly.
Yeah, and we weighed that against the immediate evaporation of the data moat, driven by that 1,000 times explosion of the video reasoning data set, which firmly shifts the bottleneck back to processing that massive token throughput.
We tried to cut through the profoundly weird, unpredictable trajectory of emergent ML capabilities by grounding our architecture strategies in empirical reality checks, like the Stanford HAI AI Index and the rigorous zero-day capability benchmarks of the International AI Safety Report.
And we dissected the test time compute mechanics driving Meta's personal superintelligence claims and provided the voltage and architectural roadmap for developers trying to tame the memory and evaluation of these autonomous systems.
And finally, we brought it all back down to earth, proving that deploying these cutting-edge models requires mastering code provenance with Git, securing the massive edge compute attack surface with Veracrypt, and using Apollo-era math like KL divergence and Kalman filters to keep the entire pipeline from hallucinating. It's just a brilliant, chaotic snapshot of what it actually takes to build in AI right now.
It really is. But if we pull all these threads together, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over that builds directly on the mechanics we've explored today.
Okay.
So we just discussed how Megatrain makes it possible to run and fine-tune massive models locally, while the 1000x video dataset provides the blueprint for highly complex multimodal inputs. At the same time, Voltagen is giving these local models autonomous reasoning and execution capabilities.
Right.
So we are rapidly moving toward a federated network of highly capable localized agents. We talked about Veracrypt securing the data at rest and KL divergence monitoring the hallucinations.
Yeah.
But as these localized, deeply personal superintelligences begin interacting with each other autonomously across enterprise networks.
Oh boy.
Are our fundamental security protocols and statistical safeguards actually scaling fast enough to prevent a single compromised, hallucinating local GPU from polluting the entire federated system?
Wow. That is the exact architectural nightmare we all need to be solving for as the rules of this industry continue to break. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Keep questioning the hype, keep digging into the mechanical foundations, and we will catch you next time.